First, greetings from Detroit, and thanks for taking the time to attend this particular workshop. I know there are many, many others that you could have gone to, but you're here. So thanks for coming and attending, and I hope that this information is good for you. There's the disclosure, no relationships. In order to help put our campaign into perspective, I'm going to just take a couple steps back and tell you about what's happening in Detroit and Southeast Michigan, and then what the Southeast Michigan Beacon community is all about, so it can help put our campaign into perspective so you can see how we landed, where we landed with what we have. You're probably more than aware that we have a great deal of a vulnerable population in Detroit. The catchment area for the Southeast Michigan Beacon community encompasses the cities of Detroit, Highland Park, Hamtramck, Dearborn, and Dearborn Heights. And there's been a great deal of population flight from that area, and there's been a great deal of physician flight from that area. So what's left is we have a very vulnerable population. There's a great deal of people that are uninsured. There are a great deal of people that are unemployed. Hopefully it's getting better, and it is getting better, but they have limited access to health care. So something like Text for Health is a unique way to reach out to these types of individuals. What the Southeast Michigan Beacon community is all about is diabetes. All the Beacon communities generally are fighting against one chronic disease or another. In Southeast Michigan, we're fighting against diabetes. That's what our measures are against. So these are some of the goals that we have, is to get a 5% increase in standard testing. We're trying to get a 5% reduction in non-urgent use of the emergency rooms. And then we're trying to work against some of the health disparities with the neighborhoods and the catchment area in which we work. So that's part of the background on the backdrop of how we developed our campaign. Much like New Orleans, though, when we launched Text for Health, we relied on a lot of partners. We don't have all the resources in the world. So what we did is, through all that formative stage that Pam was talking about, we were trying to make all these relationships and trying to get partners that we could count on that could take this, that could take Text for Health out into the community and within their constituents. We had participation on a variety of levels. We had pro bono. We had direct financial support. We had people that were trading diabetes testing and screenings. We had people that were actually adopting the service within their organization, and people that were actively promoting it. Our goal with the campaign was, the thought behind it, to try to get the idea of how we want to communicate this to the public, was to create a sense of urgency, but at the same time, a sense of relief and empowerment that people can do something about their diabetes. You got to learn about your risk and then do something about it. And the solution's in your hands. You can get immediate benefits and start by simply sending a text message. And the information is based on solid science from the world's most respected authorities. So to take one step back also in the sense of the campaign itself is, many of our initiatives at the Beacon community and all the Beacon communities are more focused on the clinics or the hospitals or the health system. This is a unique way. It's unique within the Beacon world. It's an opportunity to reach out to the public. So what a wonderful opportunity to try something like this that you may not normally have an opportunity to do with an organization like the Beacon community. Our campaign strategy was that although our catchment area is centralized right around the city of Detroit, this intervention is available to the 7-county region in Southeast Michigan. So we wanted to get an integrated campaign and have different types of messaging to address different audiences, perhaps physicians in their offices. We wanted to reach out to people in neighborhoods, and we wanted to make it so that the messages could be used interchangeably throughout the Southeast Michigan to help broaden the appeal and get people involved in the service. One thing that we did that was kind of unique is we did some micro-targeted hotspots. And what that means is we tried to identify areas in the city and our region that had higher densities of diabetics in it so that we could focus our marketing spend and our messaging in those areas. It somewhat makes sense, and it stayed true to our catchment area. Surprise, surprise, the areas that we were focusing on were those areas that where the vulnerable population was. So we zeroed in on the areas with higher diabetes and the propensity, and we positioned Text for Health as an easy, quick way to compensate for inadequate education levels and try to elevate people's awareness of diabetes. One other thing that I think is important to note, that all the messages that were sent out for Text for Health and continue to be sent out for Text for Health were written at a third grade reading level. So we want to make that to the lowest common denominator to broaden the appeal of it, to broaden people's ability to understand it. So that's noteworthy, I think. So there's a map that outlines the hot spots that we identified. What we did is we used what's called MRI data, and it's syndicated data, and we just ran it over the Southeast Michigan area, and you run up with these block groups. So the darker the area, the higher the likelihood of diabetes. Our campaign, the way that we developed the campaign and how we set it up, the campaign theme is Fighting D in the D. Unless you're from Detroit, you may not know it, but it's recognized as the D. We refer to ourselves as the D. So sometimes that takes a little bit of explaining. But we're fighting D in the D, and it's a defiant, proactive, can-do attitude. Grassroots, community-based support, and it's ideally suited for Southeast Michigan. I'm going to show you some examples of how we activated Fighting D in the D now. Our kickoff event was on February 22nd, and we were fortunate enough to get the participation of the U.S. Surgeon General. We had a community roundtable that had approximately 25 healthcare leaders from Southeast Michigan that participated in the roundtable. And the theme of that meeting was to say, what can my organization do to help fight D in the D? What can I personally do? And what can we collectively do to help fight D in the D? And then we had a kickoff luncheon that included over 225 attendees. It was a wonderful event. It was just a great day. Here are some examples of some of the press that some of the situation that we had going on. We had some of our Beacon Executive Board members. There's Paul. Paul's the chairman of Voxiva on the right in the middle. And in the middle, there's Surgeon General Benjamin and my boss, Tereska, and Dr. Smitherman, who's one of the co-chairs of our board. So we got a great deal of press that day. We were on WDIV, which is the Channel 4 NBC equivalent. We were on Fox 2, XYZ, which is the ABC equivalent, CBS, News Radio 950, you know, on and on. But we had a great deal of earned media that day when we launched it on the 22nd. We had a PSA spot that ran beginning then. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to give it a read here because it's a wonderful spot. And I didn't trust the technology to have it run, so here goes. 1 out of 10 Michigan adults have diabetes, and it's an epidemic that's growing in Detroit. But our city isn't the type to take something like this sitting down. Now we can take matters into our own hands, because the latest weapon in the war on diabetes is just a text away. Text the word health to 300-400 to better understand your risk for type 2 diabetes and become more informed about the steps you can take to fight D in the D. So that's the spot that ran. It still continues to run periodically, but we were able to achieve a great deal of that early in the year. We had what's called a PSA takeover day. We worked through Team Detroit to get as many PSAs run as we possibly could. This was on Thursday of the launch week, and we garnered more than 395,000 earned media impressions on February 23rd for absolutely no cost. It was a fantastic launch operation. If you remember back, we talked about some of the hot spots and some of those areas in the region where there were dark areas where there were high densities of diabetics. We found a way to get to those people was in laundromats. So here are some examples of some of the posters and some of the messaging that we had in laundromats that were within some of those dark areas where we had targeted. Here's an example of some of the buses. We had signs on the sides of buses and on the inside of buses that were along some of the key areas where we were targeted. You can see here's some of the bus routes and how they relate to some of the darker areas of southeast Michigan, some of those highly targeted areas. So we're in buses. The other day I still saw a bus that had a sign on it, and you know, we stopped paying a long time ago on that one. One thing that was kind of neat that we also did was we had street teams that went out during the weekend of that launch. It was in February, and it was rather cold in Detroit. But what we did is we all had white umbrellas and white hats and white scarves. And the point is that when you get a big mob of people, three busloads of people going through the town, it makes quite a scene, and it elevates awareness of the campaign on a local level. So this is simply some of the shots that we have from that event and from that weekend. And again, this was more grassroots. It's more showing people, trying to make a visual impression and get them involved with the service. Here's some examples of some of the collateral that we did, and the posters, pins. We had stickers that went on a mirror, and you know, the mirror said, "Look who doesn't have to get diabetes." Umbrellas, the little jelly wristbands, or a variety of different things that we used for outreach, all of them worked from one degree to another. Much like New Orleans, we had a great deal of community outreach, and we continue to have a great deal of community outreach. Community centers, neighborhood service organizations, soup kitchens, and faith-based organizations, they just keep popping up, and we get ongoing opportunities to get out into the community with this. In addition, we are doing some evaluation and measurement. The way that we're doing it, we're trying to identify people to opt into the research. So we send outbound text messages. For those that opt in, we offer them either a phone, we call them, and then offer a phone, web, or a mail survey. And the survey that we're doing includes different levels: satisfaction with the service, their perceptions of their health, their actual behavior. We're going through what's called patient activation measures, which is being used from one Beacon community to the other, so we can have some kind of standardized footing, like Craig was mentioning. We're looking at their cell phone usage, and finally some demographics. And then also we are getting some aggregate measures on that dashboard, and we can see some of that data coming up here. Here's the same kind of chart that Nebiu showed a few moments ago. The difference is this is Detroit data, and much like the New Orleans data, you can see that there is some fall off in the first week of the service. But what we are seeing is that of the people who could have achieved 14 weeks, because we've had some people come in after, we've had 379 of the individuals that have gone for the entire 14-week curriculum and continue with the service at this particular point. Here are the numbers that are very similar to Nebiu's. This is 822 are the number of enrolled people that were eligible for the entire 14-week intervention. That's 46% of the individuals that were able to do the completion rate. Their average number of days was 107, and our average age is a little bit north of Nebiu's number. We had 44. Here's some of the qualitative data. 72% were identified as obese or overweight. 50% were identified as having high risk. 91% responded at one time or another with the current level of activity. And 90% responded with their current weight at some time during the intervention. This is just simply some shots of you know, people at events and some of the things that we were at, and this really illustrates probably the best way for us to get the word out. So I do have some learnings. I have five learnings, and you can take them for what they're worth. First, it's a grassroots proposition. It's best to be presented to individuals on a one-to-one basis. We learned that lesson with the broad-based media. It's a great way to get awareness for the campaign, but it's not a good way to get people to text in. It's best to do that face-to-face, one-on-one, preferably, if you can, in a healthcare environment when people are receptive to healthcare messaging. We tried it at the Detroit Grand Prix, and it didn't work quite as well. People wanted to go to the race. So if you can get it in a healthcare environment, generally will be people are more receptive to health-related messaging. Because it's a grassroots proposition, get your partners early and often. You don't want to be alone at the dance when the dance starts, so you want to have plenty of partners you can dance with, and it makes it a heck of a lot more fun and fun for all. I've got three more here. Again, here's the engaged people when they're receptive to health-related messaging. That's important when people are thinking about their health and they're saying, man, I need some help here, and why don't you try Text for Health? So one of the things that we're doing is we're working through 46 Beacon-affiliated practices so that when they have a patient that Text for Health may be helpful for them, we have the prescription pad so they can hand out a card to their patients. This learning, I think, has been is pretty consistent between all the Beacon communities. People get Text for Health and they understand what it's all about, but that doesn't mean that they're going to text. For whatever reason, some people may say they're going to text, but they don't. So people get it. Whether they get involved or not is another whole issue. And that's one other learning as far as Beacons are involved, is that much of the work that Beacons are involved with, whether it's clinical transformation, health information exchange, many of the concepts and things that we work on are not real understandable to the general public. It's pretty complicated stuff at the end of the day. But people get this, so it's a great way to get awareness for the Beacon communities. And then this relates to what Craig had said a little bit earlier, is try to integrate it into other things that are happening. We've integrated it with our practices. We've integrated with an emergency room intervention that we have going on. And look for other ways that you can integrate it with other resources and other things to add more horsepower and just to broaden the acceptance of the service. And that's it. That's it.
You stay up here. For the rest of you, we have 15 minutes for discussion, questions, and could everybody just come up so that people will be able to hear you?
I had a question. Has anyone texted in yet since we started? Anyone text? You didn't use it. You have to use the zip code. Use 48202 or 1. Do you have a zip?
70124.
Yeah, 48202. Then you'll get in.
And we'll delete you.
Okay, so do we have, yeah.
Delete them out, whatever, try it.
My question is thinking about the training that Craig gave, where these kinds of products can be built back in terms of evaluation. So some great stories, some great education, some great process evaluation, all the wonderful things that you're doing. What would you suggest if you were advising these folks in order to now kind of get to
you guys want to, what have you heard? Well, was that a question directed to you?
Just for all of us.
Go ahead.
I didn't understand the question.
Okay, so what she's asking is what would be the next steps in terms of developing an evaluation for these types of programs? And actually, I was sitting there, I was making some notes, and I actually had about three or four ideas. The one thing that came up is, you know, was the satisfaction data. In the services marketing world, which is another one of my worlds, we ask that question as, would you refer your friend to this program? And that, believe it or not, that single question is probably the best indicator of service satisfaction you can find in the literature. And every good service marketer is asking that question, not are you satisfied? Would you refer your friend? Is the key question. Because then this is kind of more of an implementation issue, because then the question becomes, how do you socialize this intervention even more? In terms of outcome, you know, what people are doing who want to look at hard clinical behavioral outcomes is they're getting the patient, the healthcare provider involved with these interventions early on too. So if the patient almost, you know, one of the questions that goes out to them is, can you give us the name, can we contact? So that you can then have kind of a side conversation with the healthcare provider about getting access to that clinical information. Now, that obviously costs more money. That's a whole other set of protocols. But that's the way you start getting to these clinical outcomes. Because otherwise, what you're left with is saying, okay, we're going to set up our own clinical screening facility, and we're going to try and figure out how to get all these people in here and screen these people ourselves. I think that's going to be a very difficult type of thing to do. But when you've got prediabetes, I mean, you've got self-reported weight. Now the question is, can you validate self-reported weight? You know, you've got people who maybe have a blood glucose level. Now you've got to figure out, can we validate that blood glucose level? And then the question is, from a clinical point of view, is there any other relevant behavior that you think is important to monitor, smoking status and so forth, that you can then bring people in and somehow validate in a clinical setting?
The only thing I want to add to that is more qualitative research. So, you know, among the people that we surveyed, you know, follow up with some focus groups and to get some more rich data and to really hear from them as to what their specific experiences were with Text for Health, and hopefully they'll be able to add a different perspective that we can use to inform the next phase of Text for Health.
Just to comment briefly, I mean, there are a lot of things in terms of how the system data can be analyzed in terms of looking at self-reported data, and then also potentially looking at, as Curry is saying, validating some of those responses. But I think it is important, and I think one of the questions that I'm left with is, it is hard to reach people who are hard to reach, and there's an enormous amount of effort that has been, you know, put into finding ways and testing different ways of effectively reaching people and engaging them in their health. Now, this is a known fact in this room. It's difficult to get people who are, you know, are unaware of their risk to, you know, to get any kind of an assessment and get to a clinical setting. So I think that's something that needs additional consideration. And so this whole question of how do you pull people in, and what are the most effective? And I'm hearing a lot of commonalities across the two communities, that it really is one-on-one, where, you know, if you can get a sorority or a church group or, you know, another trusted group that can help people use a new technology to deal with a public health issue. I think that's something that needs additional investigation.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that's been so interesting for me to be on these phone calls is that there is evaluation that's being done by Voxiva, so that when people are in the system at a certain point, they're asked something along the lines, I can't remember exactly, but essentially, you know, what's your height and weight now, or have you done this? Now, again, it's self-reported, it's not fabulous, but it's better than nothing. And so you've got that level of data, you've got the level coming from the communities, from the various surveys that they're doing, but the ability to track these people is what just like, whoa, look at all that data. Yes?
Many of the providers that we work with work at the community health clinics, and so many of them have diabetes educators, and so they saw Text for Health as another tool that they can use to, you know, help their patients better manage their conditions, as well as a tool for not only pre-diabetics but diabetics to help them, you know, with their physical activity schedules and educating them on things that they can eat. You know, in New Orleans in particular, many of us eat fried foods. You know, it's just kind of part of the culture. So, you know, sending out a message that talks about, you know, instead of frying your food, why don't you bake or broil, you know, your fish or et cetera. And so that's been extremely helpful for the clinics.
Is this more for people that are already Well, the example I just gave you was for people who, you know, part of the, that are in the healthcare system, but then there's, you know, new people that we're trying to reach who traditionally haven't, you know, seen a provider that we now get them into the healthcare system. And so this text for help is seen as a valuable tool to help them better manage their condition.
Yeah. In Detroit, what we're doing is we're not saying that text for help is for diabetics necessarily. If there's a caregiver that is promoting it and has a diabetic patient, of course it can be used to supplement the care of a professional and used to supplement whatever it is they're doing. If there are individuals that are identified as high risk, we send messages and try to point them toward care rather than saying text for help is your solution for diabetes.
Yep, up here.
Are there plans to expand this to other communities? It seems to me they've got a lot of nice lessons learned, and it would be great to roll this out in other communities in our country.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about sustainability. So what we have done in New Orleans, and I think Scott's done it in Detroit, is test out, you know, different things, see what sticks. And so I think we're gonna use those lessons learned in the next phase of Text for Health. So, for example, we can develop more tailored messaging. So instead of just sending out a general high-risk message, we can send a more tailored high-risk message for a young African-American who may be at high risk. And so our partnerships, for example, with Blue Cross Blue Shield, with Novo Nordisk, with Walmart, you know, we've been able to establish trust with them. They've been engaged from the very beginning, and now it's been over a year, and they've been actively participating throughout. And so we're in discussions with our partners to scale Text for Health statewide in Louisiana.
Yeah, you had your hand up there.
I'll talk a little bit about that because from the very beginning we conducted, you know, a lot of formative research, focus groups with consumers, and so this was a potential barrier that was raised from the very beginning, and so I think that Scott and I both raised that with to Voxiva, and they understood that at the point of launch, Voxiva was in discussions with some wireless service providers to try to broker a partnership very similar to Text for Baby, where the recipients wouldn't have to pay for the service. And so now I believe they've brokered a partnership with TrackPhone. And so now we can actually use that relationship. For example, if people qualify for a free cell phone, we can use that cell phone as an incentive to further drive enrollment. And those free cell phones come with, you know, I think 200 free messages, text messages, and 200 free minutes. 250 yeah. Free minutes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's assurance wireless. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take.
No, go ahead.
Well, specifically since you're from New Orleans, I'll address that.
Yeah.
A lot of what we did, you know, it's very labor intensive. So I think, you know, one of the lessons learned too is that we need to have more people, you know, from the program side support this. And so we developed a database of messages that are part of the Connect to resource messaging that goes out, I think, once a week. And so we want to expand upon that database to include not only 5K walks and, you know, information about where their nearest healthcare provider is, but information about, you know, where the food trucks may be. And when I say tailored messaging, you know, we can tailor a message to a user in a particular zip code. And so if there's a food truck that will be stationed in their zip code, then, you know, they'll be informed about this. So those are the types of things that we want to do moving forward.
Can I just... Yeah, and then you'll be the last.
And that is something that we know from other applications that people really use, and they also use phone numbers that are in text messages, whether they're and access resources. One of the studies of Text for Baby, for example, in San Diego showed that, you know, particularly Medicaid populations will actually click on those resource links and will make the phone call to a hotline or so on. So we know that this is an effective way of getting that kind of message out.
And this is going to be the last question. You can come up and talk to people afterwards.
I'm just curious if there are plans to publish outcomes. I'm sure they don't very clearly that evidence is lacking
in Penn Pump. And you think that you're building a gathering of data to publish the outcomes. But yeah, in Detroit, yes, we are. That is the intention. It's our hope as we're gathering and working on the evaluation right now. It will likely go, you know, into first quarter, and then we'll have results that we can start working on that. And Nevi, you had another article that he was mentioning.
We're in the process of writing an article that will be published in Diabetes Spectrum. So that's kind of another opportunity to share some of our findings.
Okay, so thank you to the panel. And also thank you to you.